CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena Solutions. We are thrilled to be here live at Vena Accelerate Finance 2024. The energy is high, and we're so happy to be bringing you this episode of the podcast. The Office of Finance is continually evolving as new technologies bring us different capabilities when it comes to forecasting. And the volatile market conditions are always changing our business operations. It's imperative that finance teams be hiring the right talent with the right skills. Joining me to talk about the hard skills that finance professionals need to succeed in business today is Thomas Ho, VP of Prolytics Consulting Group, where he advises clients on their digital transformation journey. Thomas understands the tools that teams need to make this transformation, as well as the skills to make them successful. Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. It's great to be here at Accelerate Finance 2024. The vibe and energy is great. I'm really looking forward to meeting with more of the Vena community.
It's so great to be in person with everybody. I just love it. Could you tell us a bit more about yourself and your experience, as well as Prolytics?
So I've been in the industry for about 21 years now, and I've always been on the implementation side of things. And we specialize in implementing software systems and software solutions for our clients, and really helping the finance office to get the most value out of their tools. And we're providing them with various training, coaching, implementation services, and different forms of support so that they can really understand the software tools that they have and get the most value out of it.
What got you into this line of work? Did you always know that this is what you wanted to do?
I came from a background of software engineering, and I gravitated toward working on the business side of things more and more as my career progressed. And I naturally found myself doing software implementations for finance, bringing both worlds together. So that's how I got into the current role.
You've said 21 years that you've been doing this. Mm-hmm. How have you seen the Office of Finance change during that time?
So with the advancements in technology, we're seeing great impacts to the Office of Finance, especially with finances working with data now. It's more focused on making data-driven decisions, using data to support your strategic planning and decision-making. So we see that's more prevalent, and it's really at the heart of how finance works with business decisions and work with business planning overall.
How does that affect the hard skills that finance folks need?
I would say that on top of the traditional financial reporting, financial planning, and overall financial control and governance, finance professionals are now being asked to do a lot more, especially from a technology side. First and foremost, finance professionals need to have a very high level of data literacy, being able to perform a lot of data analytics, and to be able to basically comb through a lot of data and to able to gather insights from that data. And to do that, you also need to have some software tools, some software programming languages to support that, as well as using data visualization to perform the vast amounts of data that you now have available to you. So now more than ever, you have a higher volume of data. You've got data over a longer period of time, and you also have finer granularity. So sometimes it can feel overwhelming having so much data at your fingertips. But at the same time, we as finance professionals need to know how to manage and really get the value from this data set that you have.
You talk about programming there, mm-hmm. and that is not something that inherently has always been something that finance folks think of. Mm-hmm. Engineering, yes, but mm-hmm. not for finance. What would be some of the programming languages, or what do you think that finance people should be leaning into when it comes to that?
SQL. So that's always been a mainstay of any data management, database management, data manipulation, being simply to query the data and to be able to get your hands on the data. SQL has been, I would say, a pretty mainstay in terms of across any disciplines. And it's a common skill set that you see from any professionals now. And then secondly, I would say Python is another popular one where people are really leveraging it to perform data analysis, to perform financial modeling, as well as automation and machine learning as well. And then finally, I would say R is probably another one that we see more and more of being utilized in the Office of Finance, particularly with financial statistical analysis. and with presenting the doing data visualization and presenting the data in a more easily understandable manner. So I would say those three skill sets are going to be more and more crucial as we progress into the future, where data and programming is going to be a key component of any finance team.
How do you see finance professionals getting these skills? Is it something that they're typically learning when they're in school and bringing into the workplace? Or what about folks that might have been in the workplace a while?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to go about learning this?
Great question, because, you know, we never have enough time to you know, we're busy enough with our regular jobs that, you know, taking a time out to do upskilling is difficult. There are lots of tools out there and lots of different ways that can help us. So, for example, I always encourage our customers and even my own team to say, well, try to approach learning new skill sets with micro learning. Have a defined goal and objective and a focused goal that you want to establish, and then take the learning components in small chunks so that it's very measurable and it's, you can consume it. It's in one small sitting at a time. And I think that's really going to be helpful. And then I would also say that cross-team training, the collaboration is key as well. You often have expertise within your organization between finance and your IT teams, where you can actually share that knowledge. You want to establish common goals, shared objectives, and make sure that there is a cross-training so that the IT, the technical skill sets and the technical knowledge can be shared with finance team. And then on the other side, finance can share the financial insights with the technical teams so that there's really a natural sharing of this information between the team members.
And I love that idea of training ourselves up, down, and across the organization, because there is a lot of skill set and we want to try and share that with one another. And so I think, you know, lunch and learns and where you do, and people are always thrilled to share what they know as well.
Yeah.
And in teaching, it helps solidify what they know for them as well. And so there's a win-win in that. So I think that's great. I'm so glad that micro learning is a thing. When I think back to when I started my career way back when, it wasn't as consumable and bite-sized. And so it was way more daunting to think about a new skill set.
Some of the e-learning platforms out there, it's a lot of, you know, learn at your own pace. And you can also track your progress and see how you're doing. But I would say overall, it's to have a flexible workforce planning mindset to understand that if we need our existing team to do some upskilling, we need to be able to really dynamically and agile and have that agility to bring in help when they need to, so that they can take that little time off to do some additional upskilling. And also, you know, leverage strategic partners when you need to. Just having a flexible mindset when it comes to workforce planning is going to be key to enhancing your own team skill set.
Now, let's talk a bit about automation, because that's a theme we talk a lot about. And I think that for finance to really be able to lean into that, they need to really understand the tech stack, the processes from beginning to end, and work together with other parts of the business to do that and help figure out what the path forward looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree? And if you do, how do you suggest that finance teams go about trying to gain this understanding? And where are these lines to be drawn between, say, finance and IT or other parts of the business? What advice do you give customers there?
When it comes to automation, first of all, I think we need to have that process management skill set available to us first, to first take a step back and look at the big picture and say, okay, we need someone to understand the process and to be able to identify opportunities for improvement. We have to be able to say, we can perhaps save some manual labor at this junction. We can perhaps do automation here. We can do some optimization here. We need the finance, we need the business specifically to be able to, you know, point their finger at something and say, we need to make some improvements here. And then work collaboratively with the IT team to say, okay, how do we get there? What are the steps that we need to take to get us from what we have now to a more automated approach in the future? So in that sense, I think there needs to be a very collaborative approach when it comes to identifying the problem and coming up with a plan for a solution. And, you know, we're also going to involve other teams as well, such as project management, to actually plan, execute, and monitor to see if we actually reach reach those objectives.
You mentioned project management there, which I think is also a critical skill. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't, or we don't have enough of it on our teams. What are your thoughts about that and how much of that skill set finance needs to have? And if they don't have it, how to go about getting that?
So I would say right now, if you are looking within the team of finance, you're not going to see project management as a number one skill set or number one criteria for a candidate. But I would say that that's more and more increasingly important now, because if finance teams are always looking to look for the latest tools, useful tools for them to help them manage the finance side of things. And that often involves new fintech tools. So whether it be, you know, AI, you know, blockchain or digital payment systems, there's just more things that we want to do. And it oftentimes requires us to take on software implementations. And with that, you do need a proper project management approach to make sure that you are planning it correctly, you are understanding the timelines, and that you need to see it to its completion. So I would say that there's definitely benefits to having someone in the Office of Finance who possess PM skills, not just someone from the PMO, because someone within the Office of Finance, they're going to know more intimately, you know, how important it is and how it's going to impact their business. So that skill set is definitely something valuable for any finance team to have.
And you mentioned the Office of the PMO, which can be a great asset for a business to help you really have structure and move quickly. But it can become a crutch, I find, too, where everybody just wants to have that group be involved in a project. And not all projects rise to the level that they need that amount of project management. And if you take that approach, it really slows down the velocity, I think, of the things that you can get done well. And so totally agree. It's got to start to become a skill set in finance. And I think that just about everybody in finance could benefit from a little bit of up leveling of our project management skill set, because even if it's a small thing, when it involves multiple people and deadlines, you need a plan and structure. It's going to help you move through it a lot quicker.
With iterative small improvements, sometimes it might be just a small little project, and maybe having someone in the Office of Finance, it's going to allow you to hit the ground running a lot quicker rather than involving PMO. And like you said, maybe it's not the size that you need to involve the PMO. So I would say that it's always great to try to learn that PM skill set inside the team.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
So you deal with lots of different customers, lots of different needs. What do you see as the key hard skills that they're looking for? And what do you see as the biggest gaps?
The key hard skills that any finance team could benefit from is being very comfortable with data. There's so much of it that to be able to manually work with that data is now becoming increasingly more difficult. So you need that automation skill set, right? And automation skill set, it could be something as simple as, you know, leveraging macros inside Excel, okay? It could be something a little bit more involved, perhaps leveraging tools like Python to be able to do some of the automation. And that's really going to make a big difference in terms of how you manage a large data set. And then again, because of the volume of data that we have, sometimes you need to bring in some artificial intelligence to help you manage that. So having someone on the team that's very comfortable with working with AI is going to be crucial. And I think that's the next step that most finance teams are trying to tackle. So being able to comfortably articulate what they want to do to AI and to be able to extract the right results, and then also have AI generate the right findings. Obviously, AI is helping us do the heavy lifting, but we need to know the right questions to ask and know how to ask it in a specific way so that AI can be at the most effective.
And when you think about those skills, do you typically recommend to your clients that they hire externally for those skills or try to upskill internally?
That's a hard question. So I would say there are pros and cons of each. And obviously, I would always look internally first. And I recommend that, you know, look within your team. There are people that's always gonna, you know, have that thirst for knowledge and, you know, have that curiosity, and they want to learn and they want to be able to execute at their job at a, you know, more with more efficiency, with better results. And those are the ones that you want to really cultivate and say, hey, you know what, here's an excellent opportunity. Let's try to do some upskilling here. You know, we're going to try to support you in that. And it's really about cultivating a learning culture within the team. And I understand that, again, it's very difficult to find time to you know, take time to do the learning. But I would say if we can support them by, you know, supplying flexible workforce planning with, you know, maybe temporary hires, contractors, while they take that little time to do that training, it's really going to be beneficial. On the other side, hiring externally sometimes might be helpful, but obviously the ramp up time is it's going to take some time for anyone coming into a new job to learn all the in and outs of the business, of how the team operates. Obviously, you are getting that skill set, you know, right up front, and, you know, someone who has been traditionally trained in that new skill set, they're going to come in ready with that skill set, but it does take some ramp up time for them to be effective.
When I think about even, you know, years ago, a certain amount of skills could get you so far.
Right.
But today, those skills are changing fast and furious. And so whether you're in the workplace for a while or newly in, you're going to still need to be upskilling and thinking about what are the latest and greatest skills 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And so we have to break down our fear of it and start to embrace learning it and giving it a try.
With all the technology innovations, with all the new things that are coming out, we really have to continually upgrade our skill set to stay competitive and to stay efficient. So keeping that mindset is going to be crucial for any finance team and to, you know, provide the value that they want to generate for their organization.
So given how critical that is, do you have any tips or tricks for how companies can make sure they're finding that time for upskilling?
Make it part of the plan. So there should be a, you know, high level objective for anyone in an organization to really feel comfortable with knowing that I'm going to go and upgrade myself and that the company has my back. They're going to promote it. They're going to allow me to do so. As management teams, they should really establish really measurable goals to say, we're going to promote our team to take on these learning initiatives. And we're going to set up goals. We're going to have, you know, very focused, measurable metrics so that we can know if we're doing it right or not. And I would say that a lot of teams are now doing more and more of that, and they're doing it very effectively with the addition of a lot of e-learning platforms. Again, you know, you can learn at your own pace. You can, you know, do it at a time that works for you, and you can take in small chunks. You know, like, again, back to micro-learning, you don't need to, you know, tackle the whole problem all at once. You can take in just little bits at a time until you get to a point where you're comfortable with the new skill set.
You're starting to hear more and more talk of companies leaning into mastery of your profession. Mm-hmm. And I think there were a couple of years there, especially a couple of years back in War for Talent, where that was starting to lose its way. And it was a lot higher, grow teams and lots of people jumping to management track that maybe should be or shouldn't have been going there. Mm-hmm. But there's always room, no matter which path you're choosing, to continually master and always be learning to be better and better at your role. And you're right, we need to structurally support that and make it known that that's what we want to see happen and not something that people are just expected to do on the side, right?
100%.
When you're thinking about new technologies, sometimes they come with totally new proficiencies that a company may not have, and therefore, you know, you just have to hire outside to get going quicker. Do you have any advice for how to measure the proficiency of somebody on a skill set that you're not really familiar with yourself?
Instead of looking at the hard skill that you're trying to hire for itself, look for transferable skills. There are always something comparable that you can draw parallels to. And I would also focus on hiring for their aptitude for learning. You know, their agility for learning and, you know, curiosity. That's another big one. And I think the hard skills that you're trying to hire for, that's always going to change. It's always going to shift. Every few years, a new set of tools are going to come out. And I would always prioritize looking for someone that's, you know, naturally looking good at looking for problems, looking for someone who's naturally good at solving problems. And those are the skill sets I would prioritize over the actual hard skills themselves. But I understand you can also leverage, you know, some of your strategic partners to bring in someone that can actually say, okay, when you're measuring this specific hard skill, these are the things that you need to look for. And these are the questions you need to ask. And that's going to help you identify the right candidates a lot more easily.
So you need the soft skills to be able to make sure it's going to complement the hard skills. And I agree. I think the two go hand in hand. They really are complementary. Let's talk about AI for a minute. How do you think that's changing the hard skills that we need? You talked a bit about data, but any other hard skills that are required there?
There's a few things that AI can do for us. So number one, I would say is data generation. So AI is really good at doing what we used to do normally. For example, if I want to look at different scenarios, I want to do some what if planning, someone needs to be able to go in there and generate some scenario data to actually see how the results look. So AI is really good at doing that. And then AI is also very good at doing pattern recognition. And at the same, along those lines, identifying things that's outside of the regular pattern.
Okay.
And then I would say, thirdly, AI is also really good at interpreting your results and giving you results coined in, you know, natural language. So, you know, natural language generation. So that's something that we're really, really looking for from AI. Now, what do we need to do to order to get these things, to get AI to really do this thing? The important skill set to have is really to understand how AI works, to be able to, for the lack of a better word, push the buttons on a big AI machine and say, well, I need you to do this for me. It's to really understand the language that it speaks. And it's like back in the day when we were, you know, using search engines, you have to ask the questions in a certain way to get the results that you want. And similar to AI, it's the same thing. You have to work with AI and speak to it in a certain way to get the results that you want. And it's really learning that language of how AI interacts with us. And the good thing is, it gets easier over time because the artificial intelligence is getting smarter. It's interpreting our language better and better, interpreting our data better and better. So it's a really exciting part of the Office of Finance. And I think it's going to make everyone's lives a lot easier going forward.
When you think of some of your most forward-looking clients, what are the things that you're seeing them do now to get their teams ready with the hard skills that they're going to need?
The one common trait that I see is that finance teams are hiring for skill set diversity. So they're looking for people with various skill sets. So you're not always looking to hire everyone with the same skill set. I know they're on the same team, but what we really want to do is future-proof ourselves. We want a team that can, you know, we have some that's, you know, excels in perhaps automation. We have some that excel at your more traditional financial planning, financial analysis. And then you have some folks that are really comfortable with working with AI, working with new different fintech technologies. So hiring for diversity, I think it's probably the one common trait amongst all the finance teams. They're not always just hiring for that one skill set, but obviously automation and AI is probably the one that they're focusing on more so than the others. Simply it's a newer one that some of the more traditional finance teams haven't really had a firm grasp on yet.
So I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball now. If a finance team was starting from scratch, what does that team look like in 2030?
That's a tough question. So in 2030, the finance teams, they're going to be, first of all, they would all be very good problem solvers. On top of that, they have a natural curiosity to learn new technologies. And then we're also looking for, I would say, people that are good at identifying problems. And that's a key thing, you know, identifying the problem, solving the problem, and then having that thirst for knowledge to say, well, I need to learn some new skill set in order to solve that problem. Those, I would say, are kind of the cornerstones of what what a finance team would look like in 2030. And in the middle of that, it's always going to be data-driven because we're only going to be able to extract more value out of the data. And who's going to be able to do that most efficiently is really going to come out, you know, getting the most success from that whole exercise.
Excellent predictions. I tend to agree with you. And I'm guessing that we'll have overcome some of this current hesitation or just as we cautiously find our way in and thinking about AI, we're going to be in a very different state embracing it. And I'm sure taking it to some new levels then. So it's going to be exciting to think about. Mm-hmm. Thomas, thank you so much for joining me for this discussion. I really appreciate your insights. Now, whenever we have a guest on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is the best piece of business or leadership advice that you've ever received?
The best piece of advice is that I've ever received is embrace people that say things that you don't like to hear. So for me, it's always nice to hear the good news. It's always nice to hear that everything is working smoothly. You know, there's nothing to worry about. But I always encourage my team to come to me with problems and issues. And as I mentioned earlier, having people on the team that will point at problems and say, I think we need to do something about this, that's actually very valuable. And I would much prefer to have someone that's going to be very upfront, very honest, and just tell me what the issue is. And then, you know, as a team, we can then tackle that problem together. And that's something that I think that gets overlooked a lot of times because we're always looking for problem solvers. We're sometimes overlook the fact that, well, are we solving the right problem? We have to find the right problem first. So, you know, that guy that points at it and say, something doesn't look right here, that there's a lot of value in that. And that's something I take to heart a lot.
Next question. What is something that you do in your personal life that helps you show up as your best self in your professional life?
I'm a big tennis fan, a so-so tennis player. And I have a hitting partner that I hit with, an older gentleman who's retired for 20 years. And he beats me almost every time. And I ask him, like, you know, I think I run faster than you. You know, I jump higher than you. I hit harder than you. Like, how are you still good? And he's like, well, Thomas, I haven't told you, but I take lessons. I'm in my 70s, but I take lessons two times a week. And I say, well, you play so well. Why are you taking lessons? And he's like, well, there are new skills. There are new ways of doing things that I want to improve on. You know, the way that I play tennis 50 years ago is not the same way I play now. And I am going to work with coaches and professionals to help me upgrade my skill set. And it really kind of... It really kind of shows that, you know, if you have that continuous learning attitude, you're only going to get better. And there's, you know, there's nothing to limit you. There's nothing to say that, you know, I can't improve from this point onwards. There's always room for improvement. There's always new things to learn. And I think that's something that's very transferable in all aspects of business, right? Just having that curiosity, that thirst for knowledge and always striving to do better, right? With that mindset, I think that's really, you know, allow you to build a successful team.
I love that story. He's basically letting you know you're not going to keep up because he's going to keep on going. So that's great. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. And we would love to hear from you, our audience. Tell us what you like and what you'd like to see more of. It helps others to find the show. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to or watch your podcast because you don't want to miss an episode. For the CFO Show, I'm your host, Melissa Howitson. Until next time.